Omar at the DOC has left us for the afternoon. He's got important business to attend to. So we'll rock and roll for the next hour until 4 o'clock. Craig Hoffman at that point. Again, coming up in cleanup on aisle three, we'll tackle that Wizards win last night. Get you a preview of game four of the World Series. Lots of NFL news today. I wanted to reset what I tried to get going with Doc that, you know, of course, Doc doesn't like to talk about imaginary tales. So now that I'm here and in total control again, I do. The Commanders are 6-2. They are the number two seed right now in the NFC. Is that real? Or do you think that's a little bit of a figment of the imagination? Do you think that's a little bit of a magic carpet ride based on how the game on Sunday ended? Based on their red zone issues? Based on the fact that before Sunday, they supposedly had not beaten anybody good? But I don't know. Guys, you know, I look and I say, okay, the Giants are plucky. They're not good, but they're plucky. They're in every game for the most part. They were in that game last night until they started turning the ball over left and right at the very end, last couple of minutes, last two possessions. Guys, you know the Arizona Cardinals are now 4-4? The Commanders destroyed them 42-14 on a short week at home, meaning in Arizona. Off of, an uninspiring loss to the Lions for the Arizona Cardinals the week before. Not that it's bad to lose to the Lions. The Lions are great. But they played so poorly in that game, you thought, you know, their heads would really be screwed on straight. And eagerly anticipating a Commanders team who was staying out on the West Coast, who had just beaten, you know, in a huge national moment, all that stuff. And the Commanders went in there and kicked them in the gonads, 42-14. The Cardinals are now 4-4. They beat Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins, granted by 1 point, in Miami on a short week in which they had played Monday night and then had to fly from Phoenix all the way to Miami. They had beaten the Chargers by 2 points only. So again, they have two wins in the last, you know, week by a total combined 3 points. I'm not telling you the Arizona Cardinals are great, but we can no longer say that was a not impressive win, right? I think that's fair.
The way that I look at this Commanders team is, for the first time in a very long time, we have a team that is able to really prove they're better than bad teams. And when they're going up against good teams, it's going to be a fight. Now, we've won a couple, we've lost a couple against some of the better teams. And I would consider the Cincy game was an example of, they don't have a good defense, but they have a very good offense. And that was a back and forth fight. So this is an organization and team that's willing to put in the fight.
Yes.
The way I look at this, I think that this team still has holes. I think if it's going up in the playoffs against Detroit or a Kansas City, I don't see us having the depth to be able to really compete. Well,
they can only play Kansas City in the playoffs one way.
I'm just saying, in the idea that people are like, oh, this is the number two team.
Yeah.
A number two team has as much a shot at the Super Bowl as any of the other teams in. So I'm looking at it from how good are we right now? I look at this team as, if it stays healthy and the roster stays as it is, against any major team that has like one or two people out, they can be content. They can actually keep the game contentious. They can go as far as possible. And so this is a team that has proven that they deserve a spot in the playoffs, at least with how they played through week eight.
Well, here's the other thing.
They could win if they fight and if they do anything. There's not a game and not a team they're going up against where it's like, yeah, there's not a shot. I'm now looking at this as, there's a shot regardless, and that's huge.
I would say if they went up against Detroit, it's highly unlikely that they find a way to win that game, but it's not impossible.
Difficult, I think. But the last week, I totally blanking on who they
Carolina.
Hutch. They
oh,
lost
yeah.
Hutch.
Oh, Detroit, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a huge piece for them. And if where I'm coming at is towards the end of the season, obviously this maintains for the Commanders, this maintains for everybody. But if the Commanders can keep healthy and keep this mm-hmm. roster as it is, against other teams that are going to have injuries and all that kind of stuff, this is a roster that I would have competing and potentially yeah. winning.
And no team is going to stay completely healthy. The key is to avoid the big dagger, right? I mean, like right now, the Commanders are banged up at left tackle. We don't know if Brandon Coleman, we don't know if Cornelius Lucas, either or both, one are going to be able to play. If they have to start Trent Scott on Sunday against Brian Burns and Ojulari, you know, because they rotate their edges, they will not have Kayvon Thibodeau. If they have to start that's a recipe for a disaster. But just the opposite, the Giants are starting. I mean, did you see their left tackle last night? Now, Alonzo Highsmith is a really good pass rusher. You see their left tackle last night? So, I mean, that's an opportunity for Dante Fowler and for Cleveland Farrell, presumably, to eat as well, right? So some of that stuff balances out. But if they can avoid the major, major, major injuries that they have so far, with the exception of Jonathan Allen, and again, that's a major caveat, and it's very unlikely. There's going to be at least one more significant injury, and probably more than that.
And we hope there aren't, but...
But it might be to Detroit as well. I mean, like, to your point, Aiden Hutchinson is out for the year. Who's to say that Jahmyr Gibbs... I don't want to root for anybody to get... Who's to say Jahmyr Gibbs or Montgomery or Jared Goff or Amon-Ra St. Brown or Sam Laporta or Penei Sewell or whoever doesn't get hurt as well?
And this is football. I mean, you can't play the game hoping not to get mm-hmm. injured, because A, if you're thinking about injury, that's when you get injured. Mm-hmm. And B, you need to just play like you're playing yeah. the game. There's nothing else to do beyond play as hard as you can. The moment that you start worrying and playing conservatively to prevent injuries and all that, you're done.
I'll point this out too. Even though I have questions and concerns, it's only reasonable. Not only do I believe that they're a legit 6-2, and I believe that they are a legit number 2 seed in the conference, I believe they can get better. I believe they're only really scratching the surface. That defense is getting better by the series, by the week. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to be perfect. That doesn't mean they're not going to make a bad play, i.e. the 56-yard touchdown run the other night. But they are getting better. Special teams, they've been really good since 5 quarters in. The offense was unstoppable at times, but has had its moments where, okay, maybe they came up a little short. And here's the other thing. Talk about Arizona going to 4-4. Granted, 2 wins by 3 points. Hey, it's a how you win. It's an if you win, not how you win league. The Cincinnati Bengals, while still a little bit of a disappointment, and certainly they were uncompetitive, largely against the Eagles the other day, they are 3-5. You know, again, not good. But it's not like they're horrible, and we know how good their offense can be, although Philly obviously put the clamps on them. I didn't see a lot of that game because I was traveling. I was bouncing around the stadium. But Cleveland, while they suck overall, I think everybody understands that they are a little bit of a different Browns team now with Jameis Winston than they were with Deshaun Watson. That doesn't mean that they're good. It doesn't mean that we can call that a good win. But what if Cleveland rattles off 4 more wins in a row here? Unlikely. But what happens if then all of a sudden, can we call that a good win? I don't know. I mean, I think it's too simple to say you are what you are, because again, in 2008, they weren't a 6-2 team. They were, but they weren't. In 2018, I'm telling you guys, everyone knew you know, they were grinding out games. They were winning 17-14. Again, they only won a game by 3 points the other day. I got it. You're going to win some close games. Not everything's going to be blowout central. But you know the difference between what happened here in 2008 and what happened here in 2018 as opposed to what's happening here in 2024. All right, let's get to Paulie in the 757. Hello, Paulie. How are you?
Yeah, man. Hail to the W. That's how I am, man. And speaking of your headlines, I missed out on that. Man, come on. That's the perfect headline. Hail to the W. You know what I mean? It was a Hail Mary for the W, baby. Hail to the W.
How about hail for the W? Yeah.
No, hail to the W.
Well, no, we want to take credit away from you, Paulie.
Yeah, of course. That's what you do. You want to take credit away from everybody.
Right.
Like, Linnell is a brand. Don't be – there you go with this.
He is not a brand.
Don't be mad. Yeah, Linnell is a brand, bro. You can sell Linnell a brand. You can't sell you, Russell.
Yeah.
As much as we tried to sell you,
right.
Still, nobody wants you.
Yeah, nobody loves me.
You can't sell dirty clothes, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, that's what it is. 6-2, bro. It's 6-2, bro. It's a valid.
Are you going to start calling me bro now every phone call?
You know it, bro. Okay. You know what I mean? So 6-2. We're a solid 6-2. It's a violent record, but I wouldn't say we're the second best team. I wouldn't say that, man. You got Detroit, you got the 49ers, you got Green Bay, you got the Eagles. These teams have been consistently good, you know, over the past 2 to 3 years. You know, so until I actually see us now, I know we can get on the field and compete with these teams. I know this, you know, but until we get on the field and we get these teams L's, you know what I mean? So we're the new kids on the block. So I'm not gonna sit here and just talk recklessly like a fanatic fan, you know, and just say, yeah, we the second best team because our record 6-2. But right. I know these teams have been here and they've done this, and I can look at just look at the 49ers and tell that, you know, they get a couple players back here and there. Or if they add a player here and there, you know, they could easily be the best team in NFC. So, but I like where we at right now. You know what I mean? I like our record. I like, you know, our position. But we get to play Philly. I even throw Dallas in that mix. As bad as the season is they're having, there's still talent on that team. You know what I mean? They still got a talented quarterback.
Well, they're missing three of their best defensive players. Let's start with that. Yeah. I mean, that's part of the reason why they're 3-4.
Yeah, exactly. So, like I said, like, you know, I ain't downplaying us or nothing, but I'm not going to just get a bellyache off of all the Kool-Aid I'm drinking. You know what I'm saying? We got to add some food to that. So once I see us get on the field with the Eagles and get them L, you know what I mean? Then I'll be, you know, we won't get to the Detroits or the San Franciscos or the Green Bays in the world unless we get to the playoffs. So once I get us on the field against teams in our conference, so here's the things about us playing the AFC. We don't play them a lot. So it's easy to catch wins against them or even catch L's against them. Because teams that you don't play but every 4 years or so, you know, you don't know them. We know the teams in our division. We know the teams in our conference. So those are games I take the most heed to. You know what I mean? But like I said, a solid 6-2, we are, but I wouldn't put us at
if they go 2-1 out of the next three and both of those wins are one against the Giants, and let's just say they beat the Steelers but lose to the Eagles on the road. What does that tell you? And I know that's looking ahead, and some people don't want to do that.
I'm telling you, we're a good team. I said the 6-2 record is not a fluke.
Right, but I'm trying to advance the conversation beyond, again, the next 3 weeks, I think, will tell us a lot.
You can lose anybody. You can lose anybody that you play playground with. You know, our division, that's our neighborhood playground. So we can lose it. You seen that with Cleveland and Baltimore on Sunday. You can lose to anybody you play in the same playground with. But I'm looking at the top dogs in the playground, which is Philly, 49ers, and Green Bay. You know what I mean? So We get a W against Philly. That tells me a lot, right? Because that's the team we've been having problems matching up with. Yeah, I know we beat them on Monday night, you know, a couple years ago with Heineke. You know what I mean? But you know, we almost choked that game away too. But this a new time, new day. This a new team. But that's it. That's really my litmus test for this team. Is that Philly game on Thursday night?
Yeah, I would agree, especially after a physical game, or what you would expect to be a physical game against the Steelers just a couple of days before.
Yeah, it's the NFL. All them games are physical.
I hear. All right. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. Before we get to John in Oklahoma, I just want to point out, this is just according to NFL GSIS, the Commanders' strength of victory, and then they put in parentheses wins. I don't know exactly how they come up with this formula, is exactly midway through the league, 16th, at 340, 340 winning percentage. Strength of victory. The Philadelphia Eagles are one spot ahead, 15th at 375. The strength of schedule, and then again it puts in parentheses wins, the Commanders are 397 winning percentage, 25th in the league. The Eagles are 429 at 24th in the league. Now, I want to make one additional point about Green Bay and Minnesota when we return on the other side. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. I got a Beavis and Butthead tweet and GIF from G from the shop. He took a little offense that I had fun dismissed the YIC for his branding. He said poop with a poop emoji is my brand, WrestleMania 621. And then of course he shout out Bones, who likes to bust my chops. And then he says, mark my words, at @Nell_BTP will be, in big capital letters, a brand. And then tagged it, hashtag YICM, which I think the kids mean it's a youngest in charge movement, right? Is that what it is? All right. I can't hear you.
That sounds right.
Yeah. And it's Beavis and Butthead, and you know, they're doing something massive, whatever. hey, man. You know, I'm not for everybody. I am an acquired taste. I will say that. And I am certainly not perfect. A lot of you don't like how I do things and operate.
I mean, but we might be having another addition into the Rooster icon. There's a project in the works that we're working on that would add to your.
Your Do I know own. About this?
Yes.
Okay.
The thing that we're working on behind the scenes.
I don't know what we're working on.
That's a hint.
Okay.
I got Ric Flair.
I got to figure this out. All right. I got to figure this out. My brain might not be working. Oh, that's right. Oh, yes. We might have a surprise for you coming down the pike in more ways than one. By the way, if you could help me out, if you do like the radio show, if you do like what I stand for, if you do like what we believe in on this show, please, please go and bid right now for so many awesome experiences and so many great things to support Best Buddies, bestbuddieshomecoming.org, bestbuddieshomecoming.org. You can bid online, silent auction, all that. You can donate. you know, want to thank Doc. Doc made a donation. Matt, your family, your mom have supported Best Buddies, so I appreciate all of that. I appreciate all of you. BestBuddiesHomecoming.org, and we're going to have some exciting stuff coming up that has to do with the Washington Commanders. So make sure you stay tuned for that, but please support BestBuddiesHomecoming.org. All right. So I wanted to get to this real quickly here, and then we'll get to John in Oklahoma. The Green Bay Packers are 6-2 as well. They are 2-2 in the conference. The Commanders are 4-1 in the conference. That's why the Commanders have the number two seed. I watch the Green Bay Packers, and when I do, and I think it's remarkable what Matt LaFleur has done with Malik Willis and some of the distractions and some of the issues that they've had there and some of the injuries. I mean, Jordan Love has been in and out of the lineup. Trust me, I know. He's on my fantasy team, and somehow I've only got one loss in each of my two leagues. I could be wrong for saying this. I mean, their defense, Xavier McKinney, has made all the difference in the world. It's not the play caller. Stop with that nonsense. All you people that think Joe Barry was incompetent and it's just because Jeff Hafley or whatever came over from Boston, shut up. Stop. Xavier McKinney has made all the difference in the world. He's got like 7 interceptions. Okay? But I don't know. Right now, I don't know if the Green Bay Packers, I don't think they are. Because of the uncertainty of Jordan Love, I don't sense that the Green Bay Packers are clearly better than the Commanders. You can make an argument that they are. I don't think they are. The Minnesota Vikings are 5-2. They obviously have had their bye, but they've now lost 2 in a row. A close home loss to Detroit and a somewhat close road loss last Thursday night, in which, granted, they were probably screwed, or they were definitely screwed, whether they would have won the game or not. They were still down by 8. But now they're 5-2. And obviously they have one less win because they've had their bye, but now they're riding a 2-game losing streak. They're 3-2 in the conference. Again, Washington is 4-1. The records tell us Washington is slightly better. Are they? I mean, I think without Christian Darrisaw, as long as Brandon Coleman and or Cornelius Lucas aren't lost for a long time, I think Washington is better. And that's about it. I think they're better than Atlanta, and we'll find out head-to-head. I think right now they're better than Sam. And now that changes when Christian McCaffrey comes back. But remember, they don't have Ayuk. And whatever other injuries they've had. All right, let's quickly get to John in Oklahoma here before the bottom of the hour. Actually, we're running a little bit late. Johnny, go right ahead. How are you?
Yeah. Hey, I'm good, Chris. Thanks for taking my call real quick.
Yes, sir.
First of all, man, first for the Ward family here in San Francisco. Those are special children.
Yes.
And, my wife always tells me that, says that and everything, and I know what they are. Like I said, heavy heart and a lump in my throat, man. So,
I agree.
No kidding, man. No kidding. I got 4 children, and I don't know what I'd do. But, I don't know. I just don't, man. No answers for that, but just prayers, man. Nobody's talked about the we got 2 touchdowns called back Sunday, okay? Mm-hmm. When they scored their first touchdown, Bears, did anybody see Quan Martin get clothesline tackled over by 72 right in front of that lady ref? Or she was within about 5 yards.
I did not see that. I'll have to focus in a little harder on that.
Oh, hey, you got to look at it from like the angle from the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
And then 72 did the biggest belly flop after that. I mean, first he went down there and pushed Quan. Then he seen the play was still going, the 72 did. And then he just clothesline tackled him. He covered him up, and finally Martin got up and raised his hand. I mean, he could have come up and made the play. He was right there to make the play, or at least, slow him down, turn him inside, or push him out of bounds. And then the other referee, there was another one, just 5 yards up the line, about 10 yards up the line. There was two referees within 10 yards. One of them had to see it. There's no way you can't see that big 72 doing a belly flop out there in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you know, and they didn't call that back, but that should have been called back. I mean, it was egregious. I mean, you know, Quan Martin ain't very big. He got a 300-pound lineman coming down through there. How can you not see him, you know, leveling? I mean, when he first shoved him about 3 yards with both hands out, and then he just clothesline tackled him. I mean, it's anyhow, you know, how can you not see that? I mean, you're calling us one lineman downfield by a yard over there.
Yeah, well, I had a bigger issue with that. That's such a stupid rule. Even though technically, by the letter of the law, it is. The NFL focuses, usual, the NFL, which is, I think, a dumb sports league. I don't think they use a whole lot of common sense. They focus on things that are not important.
Yeah, I got one more thing about the pass. Trying to figure out what to call it. You agree? Hail Mary is biblical, right? I mean, it's Hail Mary. You know, it's biblical. Well, I caught a name for it in the past. It's DC's biblical bomb to Noah from the Book of Daniel. You know, kind of long.
Yeah,
kind of long, but we've been waiting a long time.
Yeah, we've been waiting a long time. There's a lot of religious references, including mine, no doubt.
Hey, you can. We can sit. Our kids can sit around and tell our grandkids about this. You know, the Hail Mary, you know, the biblical bomb. You know,
yes, sir. I appreciate you. Thank you, John. Thank you. I appreciate it. All right, time for a quick trending alert, and then we'll come back. Clean up on aisle three next, including a look back at the Wizards' first win of the season. Next. All right, lots of NFL news, and of course we start with the terribly sad news. 49ers cornerback Tre'Varius Ward announcing on social media that his young daughter, who was born with Down syndrome and had all sorts of heart complications throughout her young life, has passed away. The 49ers issuing a very appropriate statement asking for prayers and thoughts on behalf of their star corner, Tre'Varius Ward, as he deals and his family deals with the loss of his baby daughter. Meanwhile, news on the field, and it's been a busy day for that. Stephon Diggs is out for the year with a torn ACL. The Houston Texans receiver and Maryland product will be a free agent at the end of this year. The Ravens have acquired former Panthers and Steelers receiver Diontae Johnson in a trade for a late-round draft pick. The Colts have benched Anthony Richardson and turn to Joe Flacco, who's already started some games for them this year. This week's opponent, Sunday at MetLife Stadium, the New York Giants off of the Monday night loss in Pittsburgh last night. They say they're staying. Brian Daboll says they're staying with Daniel Jones at quarterback and Deontay Banks at corner. Banks was benched for part of last night's game and has been in the doghouse of several coaches throughout the year. And Daniel Jones, well, he continues to struggle a couple of late-game turnovers. Tonight at Capital One Arena, a chance for the Capitals to get a little bit of revenge as they host the New York Rangers for the first time since the four-game sweep in last April's Stanley Cup playoffs. 5-2 Washington, 6-1-1 Rangers. 7:30 the puck drop, a little later for national TV, ESPN, and that means the only local call with John Walton and the crew over on 106.7, the fan coverage along the way on the Odyssey app as well. Starting at 7:15 in Game 4 of the World Series, the Dodgers can win it all with a four-game sweep if they can beat the Yankees. That is at 8:08, and that's what's trending. A little Hotel California. Maybe they'll be singing that tonight in Los Angeles if the Dodgers can dispose of the New York Yankees in Game 4 of the Fall Classic and make it a four-game sweep. Without further ado, I just wanted to mention this. We got sent this, I think it was from Boston DG, but it may have been from somebody else. Dum-Dum of the Day will come from the Smoking Gun today, and it'll have something to do with cold pizza. You know, that used to be a TV show before the Stephen A. Smith screaming extravaganza started on Twitter, on TV, and before they stole the take thing from Jim Rome, who created that. Anyway, what is with media trying to steal everybody's concepts. I created cleanup on aisle three. I've heard Greenberg does like cleanup on aisle five. I don't know. I've never seen it on the show. I watch the show every morning. I've heard them reference it. I created Feel Good Football Friday. And then Molly Karam stole it from me. Stop stealing the ideas, baby. Be original.
Anyway. I hope Matt's okay with it.
Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. Ah, yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the Wizards are in the win column. And as Matty pointed out, they are seventh in the Eastern Conference right now with a 1-2 record. But, hey, they won their first road game of the year. Defense still not great. 121-119 last night over the Atlanta Hawks, as you heard here on the Team 980 and of the Odyssey app. Of course, we are your home for the Washington Wizards. In case you missed it, now again, there was a lot going on, Monday Night Football, the World Series, so on and so forth. So I missed a lot of this game, to be quite honest with you. Every time I would turn to it, it would be in a commercial break. Just annoying. Kyle Kuzma, 25 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. Did have 5 turnovers, but that's a monster night for Kyle Kuzma. 8 of 20 from the floor in 40 minutes. Jordan Poole, of course, you know, more ball handling duties and whatnot this year. 9 of 17 from the floor, 6 of 8 from 3, 26 points overall, 5 assists, only 1 rebounds, 2 steals, but only 3 turnovers in 33 minutes. Bilal Coulibaly, who's been very good so far in the early onset of year 2, 17 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, so you know he's always going to play good defense, plus 4 went on the court. And how about Corey Kispert? Freshly minted contract extension. Corey Kispert, 21 points, 4 of 9 from 3-point land, 7 of 15 overall, 4 rebounds, an assist, a steal. And how about Bob Carrington? 13 points, including 3 of 4 from 3. And we have seen Bob. Bob can shoot from 3. I don't know. Bob Carrington's probably going to be my favorite guy to watch. I mean, some of the younger guys, you know, of course, they're all fun to watch in different ways. I think I'm going to love me some Bob Carrington. I think. It's just kind of a junkyard dog. Oh, I'm sorry. Carlton Carrington. They call him Bob. Anyway, the Wizards shot 47.7% from 3. 21 of 44. 41 of 91 from the floor, 45%. So that's all good. Ricochet, only 4 points. 1 of 8 shooting. 1 of 4 from 3. 3 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks. As the number 1 overall pick on his home turf, Alex Saar, the number 2 pick, was 3 of 11. 1 of 5 from 3. Alex Saar takes too many threes. I'm just telling you, that's going to drive me nuts. But did have 9 rebounds, 2 blocks, and a steal, and 7 points overall. So both the number 1 and number 2 overall pick, not giving you a whole lot of juice offensively, a little bit on the defensive end. But the Wizards win after kind of another sort of listen. You lose to Cleveland and Boston even at home. There's nothing embarrassing, but it was disappointing is how I would label it Saturday night. I thought they would come up with a better performance on Saturday night, but they didn't. But they get the first win, and away we go. The Wizards, by the way, next up, take on the Atlanta Hawks once again tomorrow night, but at Capital One Arena. Right here on the Team 980, 6:45, the pregame coverage. So a little back-to-back, home-to-home before they move on to the Miami Heat and play them at home. Why is that game being listed as a 9:30 start?
Is that right? Could that be possible? On Friday night?
On Saturday night? Is it
Saturday night? Yeah, it's Saturday night. 9:30
listed start. I don't get that.
Whatever.
There you go. All right, so that's the Wizards story. Now, this one might be of interest to you. It might not be of interest to you. Grant Paulson is one of my best friends in the business, right? I've known him for 14, 15 years. Even though we play the sound
really
drop.
Grant Paulson.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, we do that for fun, obviously. But he's one of my best friends. And we've known each other forever. And I always bust his chops.
Sure.
About never inviting me to a Capitals game or a Nationals game. He doesn't go to Wizards games. But he gets really, 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 really good seats because he knows a lot of important people that I don't know. I don't know how he does it. He's a better schmoozer than I am. He's got people giving him tickets left and right. So he calls me last night during the middle of the Monday night game and during the middle of the World Series, and I'm on deadline for command post, so I ignore the phone call. I text him back this morning, "You called?" He gets back to me 2 hours later on the phone. He's like, "Hey, you want to go to the Rangers Capitals game tonight?"
Oh my goodness gracious.
And I said, "Whoa, an invite. Not at 6:30 when I'm already back home. An invite." So Grant Paulson and I, apparently, unless he is totally ribbing me, unless he's totally pulling my leg.
Oh, that would be kind of mean, but also kind of funny if you get off air and he's like, "Oh no, that was a joke."
Yeah, I'm still leery, but I'm going to take a leap of faith and just stay here because he's on air until 6:30. I'm going to take a leap of faith that he is not totally pulling my leg and basically setting me up for failure. That Grant Paulson and he started saying the day by saying they're not on the glass, but apparently, I don't know if this is true or not, they are on the glass. So if it is true, not only is it the first legitimate invitation from Grant Paulson to your boy to go to a Capitals game, but also, if it is true, and if we are on the glass, and I just say if because I don't trust anything, it is the first time in my 51 years of life, my 40 plus years of life being a diehard hockey fan, the first time that I am on the glass.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Wish me luck, boys and girls. I'll send out pictures later on. Now, again, I'm still leery. I'm still wondering if this is a joke. But I'm taking a leap of faith. If anybody's going to be at Capital One Arena tonight, and I know a bunch of you will, please come and say hello if you can find us or if we're walking around the concourse, if I'm even there. If not, I'm going to be sitting around watching tape and waiting for the reality of the situation to set in, and then I'll miss some of the traffic. But hopefully it's true. Maddie, you're going on Thursday night, correct?
Yes, I will be... At the game on Halloween.
Is it going to be a trick or a treat?
I hope it's going to be a trick. I hope it's going to be a treat. I'm going with Lauren. It's her first ever hockey game.
First ever hockey game. Wow.
So it's going to be a lot of fun.
So, wait, because she's from Philadelphia, right? So she never went to a Flyers game or anything?
No, her family is hardcore football fans,
Eagles.
And basically only football fans.
Right. We should point out that Maddie is in a very serious relationship with an Eagles fan.
Yes.
Yes.
They're points of contention twice a year. The rest of the time, it's a lot of ribbing with, "Hey, your team's worse than mine."
Yes. Yes, exactly. And right now they are. Well, that's fun. I mean, you've been to hockey games, though, before,
obviously. Oh, yeah, I've been to a lot of hockey games.
And you said you have good seats, right?
Yeah.
Down in the 100s or whatever?
Well, so we're just high enough in the 100s that you can see pretty much the entire ice. You're not blocked by the glass itself.
There you go.
Should be fun. I'm really excited.
Yeah, that should be fun. Little Halloween especial. The Canadians coming in. They take on the Seattle Kraken tonight. They're 4-4-1. Again, the Rangers are 6-1-1. Coming to Capital One Arena, the Caps off their... not their worst performance of the year, second worst performance. I would say the one on opening night against the Devils was worse. Tampa is a good team on the road. You know, I mean, lots of teams do that against Tampa. But the Capitals are 5-2 and take on the Rangers. Again, the local call only because it's only an ESPN national broadcast. So no Monumental tonight. 7:30, 7:15 for the pregame with John Walton, Ken Sabourin, and the crew over on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app and Caps Radio. So there you go. And that is cleanup on aisle three.
Cleanup in aisle three.
There you go. Coming up next, cold pizza. Oh, baby. It's going to get you in trouble, especially if you're a dum-dum. That's next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, wrapping up the show, Graham, here on a Tuesday. Again, Doc was with us for the first 2 hours of the show. Appreciate all you being with us as well. Linnell will be with us Wednesday. We'll all be spared on Thursday, though. It'll just be a treat. On Thursday for Halloween. Again, Friday will be a awesome day. Can't wait for the Best Buddies Homecoming Gala. Tickets are all sold out, but you can donate and or participate in our silent auction. Lots of great experiences there. Best Buddies Homecoming.org, bestbuddieshomecoming.org. Please, please go check out the items that we have for silent auction and for bid. All right, you know what time it is. Time to eat, or maybe not.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
A 22-year-old woman. This was sent to us, by the way, by our pal at Boston DG. So thank you. If you ever have a suggestion for Dumb Dumb of the Day, please tag Maddie at Mr. Underscore Me 93 and me at WrestleMania 621. And we'll do our best to get it on. But this comes from The Smoking Gun and from at Boston DG. A 22-year-old woman in Florida, go figure, Florida woman, not Florida man, allegedly drove from her residence to a Domino's restaurant because she was angry that her pizza was delivered, quote-unquote, cold and uncut. So she got into a verbal argument with the employee about the pizza, the state of the pizza. She then flung the pizza.
What?
Yeah, and damaged the store's telephone, according to a police report.
Take it easy!
At 1:30 in the morning. Rikki, if I'm saying that name, R-I-C-Q-U-I, Holly, 22, was arrested for criminal mischief, a misdemeanor, during the pizza rage. She spent the night in jail. She was released from custody on her own recognizance in the St. Petersburg area. She was ordered to stay away from the Domino's store. It's about a mile and a half from her house. It does not, however, the police report, indicate what kind of toppings were on the pizza, which is important, or if there was any other
salivating
part of the pizza, except apparently that she was really upset. She was really upset that it was cold and uncut. And I gotta be honest with you, I'd be pretty upset too. I'd be really annoyed if I got a pizza delivered, it was cold, it was uncut. You know what I wouldn't do? I wouldn't march to the store and fling the pizza at them and just destroy the phone. That's what I wouldn't do.
Congratulations, you're Chris's Dumb Dumb of the Day.
Nor should you. Greg Hoffman is coming up next. He'll take you home on a Tuesday afternoon. If Grant's not pulling my leg, I'll see you at Capital One Arena tonight for the Caps and the Rangers. Back tomorrow at 1. Thanks to Matty Ice. Thanks to the DOC. Thanks to you. See you tomorrow on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.